island of Puerto Rico. You could give us a little update on that if you wanted to, because not being there, I know that we haven't had any earthquakes here in Missouri, which I'm very happy about that. Felt too many of them while I lived in California, so I know what they feel like, and I'm sure that Carlos is now finding out as well. So, Mr. Martinez, I'm going to pull you here, ask you to come to the phone and the internet and bring us a message here for today and maybe give us a little update on the earthquake situation there where you are in Puerto Rico. Mr. Martinez.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Russell. Good afternoon, brethren, and I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are too. At least weather-wise, in Puerto Rico, this week has been a little sporadic. We've been having very windy days, a lot of wind, clear sunshine skies throughout the week, and then just some rain, much-needed rain during the night. So definitely a little bit of everything going on weather-wise here in Puerto Rico. As far as the earthquakes, we do appreciate all the prayers. If you can continue to pray for the island itself, I know the people that are living in the south are still experiencing some aftershocks and earthquakes. Just this past morning, early in the morning, between 2 and 4 in the morning, local time here, there were at least four small earthquakes between 3.5 and 4.5, and the southern part of the island, the southwest part of the island, are really the ones that are feeling these aftershocks. At least us here up north haven't felt them, but we do get notifications from them on our cell phones. So definitely, there's at least a lot of thousands of families that are without homes. There's a lot of buildings and structures that are getting inspected. The schools don't know when they're going to start. They're trying to inspect every single school in Puerto Rico and government buildings and private enterprise buildings, and it's just going to be a little bit of a process. So we do thank everybody for their prayers, and please continue to pray for those in the south who are some without power, some without water, some without phone lines, some without internet and communication. So, but we do appreciate all the help that's coming to the island, and we just continue to ask for prayers regarding that. Hey, Brendan, I would like to start today's sermon in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14. Here we will begin to read about the time which Jesus was with his disciples and warned them about the things to come into this world. Reading now, Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 4 through 14. Reading out of the King James Version. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. So you not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Brethren, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ uses the gospel, as we just read in the book of Matthew, to outline and picture the end time events that are to come to pass soon throughout the entirety of this planet. Jesus establishes this prophecy because he understood and he knew the plan God our Father has for us for the salvation of mankind. Christ understood, preached, and informed throughout the Holy Scriptures of the end time event that will happen, because we as God's children and called out Christians must understand what will happen in the end time for all of mankind. Also, it is important to understand these verses that we just read, and I would like you to keep these verses in mind as we go through the sermon today. Now, brethren, I would like to ask you a question regarding these verses that we just read in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14. Why did Jesus the Christ preach throughout the gospel these words that speak of end time events? We know that Jesus Christ was speaking about things that would not yet happen for thousands of years. God knows that mankind would live generation upon generation without these events happening or beginning to happen, because only God knows when these events will happen in the future. However, we see in these verses we just read in Matthew 24 that God intended for Jesus the Christ to make a prophecy regarding these events, because God knew that there would be a set apart people, his spiritual Israel, that would understand these events as they happen in the respective timeline they would occur. We notice and see just a few of the events happening around the world today that are mentioned by Jesus Christ. Here are a few examples. Major earthquakes happening around the world at the same time. And there are major earthquakes happening right now around all parts of the planet. Rumors of war between the United States and Iran, and increased tensions between these two countries that almost led to a major conflict in the Middle East. Israel constantly facing rocket and mortar attacks from Iran proxies and other terrorist organizations such as Hamas, Hezbollah, and Al-Qaeda. Current health outbreaks and crises happening around different countries around the world, numbering 19 pandemics spanned across all the continents. There's even a mysterious disease in China that claimed its first victim just this past week, according to the World Health Organization, as well as travel alerts being issued for four countries that are coming in and out of China. Christians are constantly living persecution in predominantly Muslim nations, such as the case in Africa and the Middle East, where Christian churches are vandalized, burned, looted, and Bibles burned. The Pope preaching more and more about uniting all religions into a single religious system acceptable of all faiths and lifestyles, and how inclusive a new system of globalization should be. Christians in the United States and Puerto Rico are mocked for having a set of beliefs and an increased growth in atheism and satanic cults as substitution for the belief in God. By entire continent of Australia, and hundreds of thousands of animals dead, and thousands of citizens displaced from their homes being completely destroyed. The basis for understanding what is going on in today's world should be a warning to what is to come. The Word of God clearly outlines the events that are to come upon us, but we cannot sit idly by and not pay attention to what is happening around us. The purpose of the words spoken by Christ for us is to understand that these events are to come for a reason, but not without a solution in mind. Brethren, we must take heed to God's word and instruction booklet, the Bible, that we have in our very laps today, and hold on to the scriptures, because we need to be aware of everything that is going on. Furthermore, the events that are currently taking place are not because Jesus Christ wanted to instill fear into the heart of man, but because Jesus Christ knew that God already has a solution for all that is to come to pass. The most important element that we will discuss today is actually the title for today's sermon, God's Comfort. God's Comfort. We will see that throughout the Bible, in both the Old and New Testament, prophecy is always aligned with a solution that is not an actual physical solution to the problem that is to come, but a spiritual solution that, as God called out Christians, we need to embrace each and every day. God made us in His image, and it is important to exemplify the qualities of Christians, because even during these difficult times, God is our comforter. Let's look at the definition of the word comforter first. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word comforter has four different meanings. One, strengthening aid. Two, a feeling of relief or encouragement. Three, a satisfying or enjoyable experience. Four, one that gives or brings comfort. Also, there are three versions of this word in the Strong's Concordance. The first one is Strong's Concordance 5165, from the Hebrew word nechama, which is spelled N-E-C-H-A-M-A-H, which means comfort. The second is Strong's Concordance 5150, from the Hebrew word nikum, which is spelled N-I-C-H-U-M, meaning comfort or compassion. The third is Strong's Concordance 3874, from the Greek word paraklesis, which is spelled P-A-R-A-K-L-E-S-I-S, meaning a calling to one's aid, encouragement, comfort. All of these definitions provide a basic understanding of the word. And as we go along with the sermon for today, we will look at examples and how God wants us to prepare spiritually in order for these things to happen. Now, prophecy isn't just the only thing we need to be aware of, brethren. There are times in our lives where we are tested with life-altering events that change who we are as a person. The problem could lie within a disease or condition that is diagnosed, and we are completely in shock over that new information available and is known to us. Some of us lose loved ones in the process of our life, and the situation presents itself in the most unexpected of times, and often without any preparation at all. In other instances, it could be our own job, where we know that as God calls down Christians that keep the Sabbath and the holy days, they are be presented in some days with comments, jokes, and even people mocking our own faith, even if they say it as a casual joke or a good faith according to them. As I'm sure you have gone through this process as well. The afflictions we face in our daily life are necessary to plant a seed, mature, and watch our spiritual growth flourish during the most difficult times of our life. God is a perfect and a righteous God, and He does not let anything happen to us in our lives just out of pure coincidence. It is done with a purpose. Our spiritual side is in constant battle with our emotions, with our physical side, and we need to understand that God does not allow something to happen without having the need to do it in the first place. Our hearts and minds need to be on knowing that God will always prove to be on our side, no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, no matter the problem, no matter the suffering that we are enduring. God will always be there. Now, I know our human nature is evident when it comes to showing our emotions. And that is fine, because we are physically in this world, and we sometimes let our emotions let out, or get the best of us. But know this, we are not alone, because God is our comforter. With all of that being established, let's look at what the Bible says in terms of the different instances in which God's comfort is evident in our lives. Now, we will be looking at quite a few scriptures for today's sermon, but I think it is appropriate to do, given the circumstances we, as God called out people, face each day, and how this will aid us in understanding God's comfort. Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, and look at several verses regarding Paul and his letter to the Corinthians, relating the message of how the power of God can help and aid us in understanding the importance of God's comfort. Here in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning in verses 18 to 21. Says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of And now dropping down to verses 26 through 30 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, a very familiar set of verses for everyone that I'm sure we all know by heart. Dropping down to verses 26 through 30. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. In order for us to understand God's comfort, we must begin by acknowledging that our own calling from the world into the gospel of Jesus Christ is at the heart and center of what God wants us as Christians to do. Our very calling defines who we are. It clearly demonstrates the purpose God instilled in and every one of us. We have to, as Paul did, take heed into what God's word puts in our hearts, our minds, and into practice every single day. God will comfort us, brethren, no matter the circumstance, no matter what we are going through, no matter what the trial, tribulation, or problem we are facing could do to us. But we must know and take into consideration that God's calling is a big part of God's comfort because of the predominance of having the wisdom of God's word in our everyday life. Paul begins by demonstrating this concept in the details of how we are redeemed by Christ's sacrifice, and how little the worldly concepts matter to God, because God did not want to give comfort into the things that are of this world, brethren. He wanted to let us know that his comfort through our pain are manifested through the expression and action taken by us as Christians, and how these actions are defined through the point of view that God wants to put in our hearts, that not many of the people are called by great possessions or statures in life. Instead, God relied on the simple things of this world make sure we have his comfort and peace always. Let's continue in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, and we'll look at a few verses there. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 2 through 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning in verse 2. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. unto our glory. But none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, as it is written, eyes had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them not us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That's quite a lot of information and meat in those verses, brethren. The important parts of the verses outline a critical component to understanding God's comfort in our lives. In verses 3 through 4, there are several examples that Paul establishes to the Corinthian church that are of actual relevance for us today in our own society. For example, in verse 3, Paul states, "And I was weak with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling." I ask you a question, brethren. Are these not qualities that our own human nature take over inside of us during certain situations in our own lives? Do we not see each other in fear sometimes during certain circumstances in life? Do we not find ourselves weak due to a persistent problem that occurs in us daily? Are we not fearful for what the future might hold due to the uncertainties presented in each and every one of our lives? Well, brethren, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind we have all experienced these feelings. However, just like the scripture says in verse 5, that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. This verse is key to understanding an element of God's comfort, because we should not be worried, preoccupied, or concerned with how man will be the outcome of our lives. But rather, God's faith should always first be exercised because of the mitigating circumstances that happen to us daily. The things of this world, brethren, will in no way, shape, or form give us peace and comfort for the world's problems we face in the first place. God's wisdom, God's power, and God's peace through the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit that lives and resides within us, are the only elements that can truly give us peace. Nothing that man does can come in the way of what God wants for our lives. And that includes this comfort and peace during the most dire of situations and circumstances. Let's turn over to the Old Testament and look at a few examples of scripture that will help us understand more about God's comfort in our lives. Beginning in the book of Job, J-O-B, chapter 5, verse 11, Job, chapter 5, chapter 27, verses 13 and 14. Psalm chapter 27, verses 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Brethren, we read of David, another man after God's own heart, gives us a truly remarkable set of scriptures to meditate on. These verses demonstrate the mercy and peace God gives us through the outpouring of God's comfort in our lives, due to the courage we must demonstrate. And an important quality is set before us during this time, and that is that we must wait. While a quality that not many of us like to practice, especially when it comes to times of pain, anger, and mourning. However, the quality is important enough for David to mention it not once, but twice. We must, as he says in verse 14, wait on the Lord. Remember, brethren, God's time is not our own time, and his response and comfort will be there. We just have to wait on him. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, and verse 10. Isaiah, chapter 41, and reading now, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. These are truly incredible words given directly to the prophet Isaiah by our Lord God, letting us know that an important thing for us to do, brethren, is to not fear any situation that comes our way. We cannot be discouraged, no matter the circumstances surrounding our life. God is in control of every single aspect, every single event, and every single thing that happens in our lives. God will give us the strength we need to face any obstacle thrown in our direction through the mercy of his righteousness. Brother, let's look at the New Testament now and see some examples of how God has our comfort in his mind when everything in our life is taking place. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33. Here we will read about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, referring to a solution offered in a very familiar verse to all of us. Reading now John, chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And dropping down to verses 37 through 39 here in Romans 8. Nay, in all these things we are no more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, it does not matter what the world can do in our way. There can be absolutely nothing separating us from the love of God the Father and the mercy of His Son, Jesus the Christ. And they continue here in the book of Romans. Let's turn to chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fills you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Brethren, God's comfort begins by us getting on our knees each and every day, every morning that we wake up, and asking in prayer for God's guidance and comfort in our lives. Right before we do anything regarding tasks, errands, appointments, or even getting up and making that fresh cup of coffee and breakfast, God's comfort begins on our knees daily. And we must take this into practice if we are to experience God's peace. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews, chapter 13, and reading now verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Brethren, we must truly rely on the Word of God to fully understand what God wants us to do during perilous times. Every single one of the verses we have read talk about a specific quality, action, and responsibility we must adhere to as Christians in order to properly and effectively take action unto everything that God puts throughout our lives. During difficult not provide his word as the guide for the solution. Brethren, it is incredibly hard and difficult to be able to exemplify these things which have been spoken to us, because we are human beings that demonstrate emotion throughout our entire lives. Now, God does not say that we should just forget what happened to our lives and move on, but instead, God's comfort is there as a reminder to us through His Holy Scriptures that everything that's happened in this world has been overcome by Him and Jesus the Christ. God constantly reminds us throughout the Bible because He wants us to understand that during different periods of time since man's creation, that God does not leave His select few alone, ever. God will always be there for us. Always. Brethren, let's conclude today in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning in verse 3 through verse 7. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort